This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Welcome in, everybody. It is time for our player spotlight here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. And a pleasure to speak to a man who was, boy, he was putting on a show during training camp, and we kept talking about him week after week, and it continued into game number one of the season. He's with us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline. Rasheem Green is here. Rasheem, how are you, sir?
Am I feeling great?
Hey,
I'm feeling great.
What a great game. I mean, first of all, the win is crucial, and that was a lot of fun to see the team win. But you individually, it's always hard to tell. Should we get excited about a guy in preseason because they're not playing starters and the teams aren't scheming against you? And we sort of tamped down our excitement, but you were really popping during preseason, and that carried over into this game. Just give us a thought on what this felt like, and it just seemed like you were active, you were involved, you were present. It was a great game individually for you.
Well, my main focus going into this game was just making sure I have the same focus that I've had for the past couple weeks going into the game. So, just one thing, I felt like my focus was, like, just there the whole game. I felt like I did a good job of just not being too excited, but just making sure my, like, hands, eyes, and feet were right.
Yeah, well, Rasheem, what was different for you this year? Coming in your fourth year, man, I mean, you just all of a sudden just making plays all over, and you've always been a really good, steady player, but now all of a sudden you're making big plays. Is it confidence? Is it what felt differently felt different this year coming in to your fourth year?
Well, like one thing I did or like one thing I tried to focus on like this year coming up was just being more like – one thing I try to focus on was not being so tense going out there, because like for the past like three and a half years, I felt like I kind of wasn't playing how I can play or playing how I want to play, because I felt like my focus was kind of off because I was too like tense, if that makes sense. And I feel like, you know, going into this year, I've been trying to keep my focus on and just not be so tense, which just helps me play more relaxed, and I can see things like just the game slows down.
Yeah, well, Rasheem, here's how I would describe you as a player. I mean, I feel like you always do right. Like, you're always in the right position. You know, you're very, like, conscientious. You're very, disciplined and things like that. And to me, it looks like this year the difference is that maybe you're just not worrying about that stuff, and you're just kind of turning it loose, like you're cutting it loose and playing with like more aggression and kind of more freedom. Do you think is that close?
That, like, as a part of what, like what I was just saying, which is like to not be so tense. And I felt like, you know, because I had a this past like summer, I had to talk to my coach or. Like, because, like, the past, like, I don't know if like, this makes sense, but, there are times when I'm, like, playing to play perfect, and, like, that's not realistic. You can't be perfect out there, and that's, like, that's just a mindset I've been trying to embrace, you know. You know, when you're out there, you can't be perfect. So, you know, it's okay to make mistakes.
Outside of just relaxing and cutting it loose, so to speak, was there anything that you focused on in the off season, or anything the coaches say, hey, I want you to work on this, whether it was, I don't know, speed or strength or technique, or just something you really zeroed in the off season?
I feel like outside of what I've been doing, because I always make sure, you know, because like the one thing I can control is my technique and conditioning. That's one thing I kind of, you know, just been kind of staying, you know, strong with, you know, because I've had this past off season, I've like started to do like some kickboxing, which is hard as hell. That's pretty hard, I'm not gonna lie. Probably six workouts a week, you know, because I like do like every Monday through like Saturday, but at the same time I'm trying to, you know, make sure I'm not doing too much, but at the same time I'm trying to push myself. because you can't get better if you don't push yourself.
Bob does karate too.
Stop it. See,
I'm just kidding.
Don't listen.
Karate when I was a kid. It's not the same as kickboxing, though. I'm not going to lie to
you. You're right. It's not, and I don't do that. I do jujitsu.
I'm just teasing Bob. So, well, Rasheem, I mean, this is a pretty good. I mean, I'm looking at your final stats. I mean, maybe they screwed you out of a couple tackles. I felt like I always got screwed out of tackles, but you had four. You had a sack. You had two quarterback hits. Knocked a couple passes down. You know, the sack is like the you know, king for defensive linemen. But those other plays really nice. And then you're even dropping back into coverage a little bit, huh?
Oh yeah. The coverage thing, not my favorite thing to do, but you know something, I've been trying to get better at this past, you know, like camp and practices. I've been trying to get better at it, which I feel like I have. I made a mistake out there, but, you know, I just had to put that behind me.
Hey, Rasheem, you obviously played last year with no fans like everybody else did. What was this like? What was that building on TV sounded like it was, at least in the first half, three quarters, it was really loud. Mm-hmm. It got quieter. But what was that like just having a packed building out there?
Oh, it's nice having the fans out there, you know, because I said this yesterday to some reporter. Like, you know, if the fans are either booing you or if they're cheering you, you know, it's all the same to me. You're just having that noise and just, you know, because, like, it just adds to the, like, the vibe of the game. It's just, like, not the same when you're out there and it's just quiet and you can hear people talking on the sidelines and you can hear literally everything. Is just, you know, feels like a practice. Well, not like a practice, but it's a game last year, but it's just not the same when you don't have like the crowd noise when, you know, there's a big play or the fans are booing, you know. It's a part of the game.
Is it easier as a member of this defense to play on the road because it's quiet? The opposing team is going to be quiet when their offense is on the field. When you're at you know, Lumen Field, obviously that building is going to explode when the opposing offense is on the field. So you're out there, and the communication, I would imagine, is hard in Seattle. Is it a little bit easier on the road?
I would say on the road it's not as hard as it is at home to hear the play calls, but – I would say at home, because it's so loud, it makes it nothing easier for us to get, like, certain things from the nothing offense. Since they can't talk, they have to, like the offense has to point stuff out, which makes it nothing easier to see, like, where they're going with the play sometimes. And, you know, with the fans being so loud, like, there's a good chance there's a nothing lineman going to, like, be wrong with, like, the cadence. You know, it's a good chance to get somebody, like, to jump off sides.
Hey, on the road, Rasheem, do you guys have roommates, or do you guys all get your own hotel room now?
My first year, I had a roommate. Since then, I have not had a roommate.
Okay, so veterans. But I guess I'm just curious, like, anybody, who do you hang out with on the team, mostly?
Well, like, the guys on the D-line, pretty much, but, like, really... Yeah. Puna, Benson, man, what is the whole D-line pretty much? I feel like all the guys on the team, like, those are the guys who I, like, talk to the most. You know, I hang out with them outside football. We're playing the game together, you know?
Hey, last one from me. Rasheem, I know that I've given you a hard time because you didn't go to Stanford when you could have. I fell asleep the other night. Did you see what happened in the USC Stanford game?
I watched the first half, but like they're going to bounce back this week, you know. I got faith in my got faith in the Trojans, you know. I got faith that they're going to bounce back.
Still think you should have gone to Stanford, but you know.
My like sophomore is it was either my sophomore year or my junior year of high school. I like took a visit to Stanford, right? And the coach told me, your job as a D lineman is to not make plays. I was like, hell no. Nah.
That's outrageous.
I'm like, that's not what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, that's a cool school. People are great there. It's just, I don't know. It just seemed kind of boring. I'm not going to lie to you.
I think he made the right choice, Dave.
Whatever you did worked out great, Rasheem, and we're really happy to see you playing so well right now, man. It's, I mean, you've always been good. You've always been a very good player, man. But now You're cutting it loose, making plays. It's fun to watch.
I appreciate that, guys. Thank you.
Hey, Rasheem, we appreciate you taking the time. Congrats on the way things have gone, obviously, through the preseason into game number one, a tremendous victory. And we wish you nothing but the best and look forward to talking to you throughout the season.
All right, guys. I will talk to you later.
There you go, Rasheem Green in your player spotlight. We do it every day here with Wyman and Bob. And every Tuesday, we bring in this man, El Hombre.
Yeah, you know what you can get me, Pee-wee?
What? El Hombre.
First of all, as a service to the listeners, this is an absolute forget about it.
El Hombre.
He's a pariah. I mean, it's like going after raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens.
El Hombre.
He is with us on the Issaquah Pest Control Hotline, the president of the Jalen Hurts fan club, the one, the only, El Hombre, Michael Bradley. Hello, Michael.
17-0, baby.
Feeling better about Jalen Hurts after that trouncing of the Falcons?
The Falcons are horrendous, but yeah, he played pretty well. Let's see what happens this week against them, their Niners.
When do you start feeling like you have an idea of how good or bad a team is? And this year will be different because it's 17 games, but do you feel like it's a month in, 4 games in? When do you feel like you got a grip on what the team's going to be?
A grip, that's halfway through the year. An idea, 4 or 5 games, especially with the few – the small number of exhibition games and the fact that very few players played anything more than just a couple series. So, look, the Eagles looked great. Their offensive line was tremendous. If it's healthy, it's very good. Hurts looked good. Devontae Smith looked good. So far, everything's great. But it's one game, and the rest of the Eagles October, anybody September and into October, it's not easy. So, you know, what are we going to write off the Ravens because they lost last night in overtime to the Raiders? Blew a 14-0 lead? No, we're not. But, with 17 games, you have a lot more room for forgiveness.
I don't know how much of the Colts game, the Seahawks game you watched, but the ex-offensive coordinator and the ex-quarterback together down there. You know, I'd forgotten that Carson Wentz is actually pretty good. I mean, we haven't seen him a lot here, but, you know, he made a couple of pretty amazing throws and, you know, able to escape some pressure. And, yeah, it seems like he gets a little bit discounted, and I think it's mostly because he was the second pick in the draft, right?
No, the guy's got talent. He's a very good passer. He's mobile. He's a great athlete. Problem with him is more above the neck. You know, his ridiculous stance against the vaccine show and the things he said shows – he may not be the most thoughtful guy, and I don't mean thoughtful as in, after you, ma'am. I mean thoughtful as, does he really think a lot? Also, he's somebody who seems as if he can get his feelings hurt pretty easily. And you don't want a quarterback like that. You don't want somebody with a thin skin under center, because that's the focal point of every team. So, I mean, it was interesting to see that the Seahawks were able to handle the Colts, but it's early, and you know, what's his name? Wentz barely played in the whole preseason, whether it was practice or games. So it's going to take a little while for him to get going. The thing that the Eagles fans liked is he played the whole game. Eagles fans need him to get to 75% of the snaps, win or lose, so that they can get a first-round pick for him.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So there's a vested interest in his availability this season.
No doubt.
So what else caught your eye in terms of games? I mean, there were some interesting, you know, upsets, if you will. We've been talking a lot about the Cardinals just destroying the Titans. I don't think anybody saw that coming in that fashion. Chandler Jones with 5 sacks in that one. I mean, Aaron Rodgers looking as bad as anybody's ever seen him, and all of a sudden Jameis Winston, 5 touchdowns and no interceptions. I mean, nobody expected that outcome either. But what did you get a chance to see any of those games or anything else catch your eye?
Yeah, I watched the Chiefs. I watched a lot of the Chiefs-Browns game. You'll love this. It was Faculty Appreciation Day at the Villanova field hockey game on Sunday, and one of my former students invited me to come out to be appreciated. So I did. So I missed a lot of NFL action because I was at the field hockey game.
Being appreciated.
Being appreciated. Yeah, and I thought this was going to be like some big ceremony, and they're going to unfurl banners with my pictures on it and everything. And it's like in between the first and second quarters. Please stand up. Give a round of applause. All right, here goes the second quarter. So it wasn't quite as
5 seconds,
you know,
of glory.
Much of a victory tour as I thought it was going to be. I loved watching Pope Herman VI get in the shorts by the Texans, right? The Texans, I think Tyrod Taylor started at quarterback,
yep.
And they just boat raced them. It was beautiful. And then to make it even better, USC fired Clay Helton. And everybody thought that would be the job that Meyer would go back for, right?
Mm.
So one of three things is going to happen. He's going to grit his teeth and tough it out with the Jaguars. Two, he's going to say he needs to spend some more time with his family. Or three, he's going to start having heart problems that will conveniently be cleared up by January when they start their full search.
How about your Phillies? Still hanging in there?
Oh, please stop it.
Huh?
Stop it. It's excruciating. They lost 3 out of 4 at home to the Rockies.
Yeah.
All right. The Rockies won. That was 1/6 of their previous wins on the road.
Well, hey, the Mariners just dropped 2 out of 3 to the Diamondbacks, who came into that series 51 games under 500.
The Phillies got swept by the Diamondbacks. I'll play. You know, this is like playing poker. You guys are going to get clobbered.
You got a better hand each time, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Straight flush, 4 of a kind. You're doomed.
Did you really get swept by the D-backs?
Yes, in Arizona. Yeah, they did.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's
rough. They're horrific. And right now they're up 1-0 on the flailing Cubs. And I can just see what's going to happen. They'll let the pitcher go into the 8th inning. They'll take him out after he's thrown 92 pitches, turn it over to the execrable bullpen. That'll give up a 2-run homer, and they'll lose a game.
Yeah, but nobody out there cares now, right, because it's all about the Eagles.
You are probably correct. The Eagles are 1-0, and no city overreacts to a Week 1 win better than the Philadelphia fans. It's unbelievable. When Maximum Leader came in and clobbered the Washington NFL franchise in his first game, you would have thought that John Heisman had come back and beaten Cumberland 222-0. After that, the Seahawks kind of showed how you defend that college offense, and that was the beginning of the end. But, you know, right now, you've got people right now sitting saying, honey, we can't afford to buy the real Cheerios because we need to save our money for the Super Bowl trip.
Hey, what'd you think about your win over University of Washington? Michigan Wolverines.
I was deliriously happy. It was a lot of fun. Whenever the large team wins, I'm happy. And the fact that they barely could throw the ball 5 yards, you know, worries me some. You guys, I think, are going to have to make a quarterback change, although Morris came around a little bit in the second half. The strength of your team was supposed to be the offensive line, and it kind of got pushed around by Michigan. And then the Michigan offensive line just completely dominated. I mean, I don't remember the last time. I don't know when the last time they had two guys go over 150 yards rushing. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that wasn't well received out here, Michael, you might imagine. It was
really? Yeah. I mean, losing to Montana and then getting clobbered by the Wolverines was met with folks just dancing in the streets?
Nah, it's not being embraced as you might imagine out here.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
I did enjoy seeing Ohio State lose to Oregon, though.
That was great.
I thought of you throughout. I was going, nobody's enjoying this more than Michael Bradley is right now.
No, and it's funny. I only saw the second part of the third quarter and then the fourth quarter because I was watching my alma mater, high school alma mater, win its first win of the season. But I was able to make it up to an establishment and have a couple of adult beverages while watching the Buckeyes get beaten by Oregon, and it was delightful. It was just such a great experience.
So, hey, if your Phillies or our Mariners here don't go to the playoffs, who are teams in Major League Baseball that you really enjoy watching? Is there any must-see type of players?
No, not me. Nope, not at all. Seriously.
He shuts down.
I'm being completely honest. I don't know. I don't watch baseball other than the Phillies.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Do you watch the World Series? Do you watch the playoffs?
It depends. I'll watch some of it. You know, I'll put it on the bottom set if there's nothing else on. But, I mean, I'll put on ESPN Thursday Night Football. I mean, like Virginia Tech and North Carolina State, I'll put that on over the ALCS, especially if the Yankees are playing or the Red Sox. Forget it. I don't want to see them in action at all.
Hey, did you watch any of the Manning broadcast last night?
I didn't. I had the game on. I was watching the regular broadcast. I saw some highlights of it. It strikes me as something that could get old pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I only saw
I like them, but
Yeah, Dave and I both, Dave forgot it was on. I forgot until like the last minute. So I caught maybe 5 minutes, if that. I didn't see any of the guests. I guess they had Barkley on and Travis Kelce and Russell Wilson, all these different people, but I didn't catch any of that. What I did see, I mean, I just think Peyton's a naturally funny guy. And I thought he was funny. It certainly is not play by play. They're not sitting there giving you the, you know, hey, it's third and one from the 40-yard line. It's, you know, giving you details. They're just two guys sitting there talking, which I thought was kind of cool. But yeah, I'm not sure an entire broadcast what that would be like. But the little chunk I saw, I thought was pretty good.
No, and you're right about him. He is a natural. He can, you know, he could do whatever he wanted. If this were the 1970s, he'd have his own variety show. Right. Yeah. For those of you who don't remember what that is, that's where the guy would come out and tell a few jokes. Then he'd introduce Charo, who would come out and go, coochie, coochie, coochie. Then the Osmonds would sing a song. They'd do a little bit of a comedy skit with Harvey Korman. You know, it would last about an hour, but he'd have his own variety show for sure.
There's a lot of people scratching their head right now going, I have no idea what this guy's talking about.
Dave isn't. Those references.
Merv Griffin.
I don't know who any of these guys are.
Loved when Charo would come out.
Exactly.
Yeah. And well, then the other thing we were talking about, I don't know if you've ever seen the older brother, Cooper. He's pretty funny, too, and he does some things.
Yeah, he is.
As well.
I talked to him. It's spelled Cooper, but they pronounce it Cupper. And in 1997, I wrote a feature on Peyton Manning for I forget what magazine, but they sent me to Tennessee to interview him over the summer. It was right before his senior year. And I spoke to his brother, Cupper, who was great. He ripped his brother. He's like, he told me his nickname was the giraffe because his neck was so long. He gave me all sorts of material. And then I started talking to Peyton, and he was so mad that he had told me this. And he had a little bit of a thinner skin back then. Yeah. He wasn't so good at you know, looking like he was brushing stuff off. But, no, have you seen them do the College Bowl?
No.
The old quiz show. Remember when the old colleges would do?
Yeah,
saw the movie
right.
Diner, where Kevin Bacon's sitting there watching the college. Cornell, you idiots! He's,
yeah.
He's sitting there answering all the questions. They resurrected it. This and those two guys were the hosts. And I know some of the stuff was scripted, but their banter was pretty good.
So they really call him Cupper.
Yeah, that's what they call him. If you listen to Peyton refer to him, he calls him Cupper.
Huh.
And he was a heck of a – he was a good wide receiver at Mississippi until he was diagnosed with spinal stenosis. The problem with spinal stenosis is you get hit the wrong way, you're paralyzed. Right. And that you get that diagnosis, you stop playing contact sports.
Yeah. Before we let you go, Blessed by the Best, My Journey to Canton and Beyond is the latest release from Brian Dawkins and our very own Michael Bradley. How's it – is it flying off the shelves?
Unbelievable. That's exactly what I was going to say. People can't get enough of it, at least members of my family. And it's Brian is doing some good publicity for it, especially in the Philadelphia area. People are starting to learn about it. With a book, you got to develop a little bit of buzz for it. People have to know it's there. The real goal is that, you know, once we get into November and early December and people start buying Christmas presents, we want people to be thinking about this for the Eagles fans and Broncos fans and football fans on their list. And I will tell you this. This man is somebody who is 100% authentic. You meet a lot of people who talk about religion and treating people the right way and inspiring them. He did a book signing on Saturday, and I got to stand there and watch people come up to him. And first of all, the looks in their eyes, it's total awe. But then you start to hear people say, a couple years ago you sent me an email. It made all the difference in my life. I was going through a tough time. Dawkins was almost crying because of the impact he had on these folks. So he is authentic, and his story is truly inspiring, and it's raw. He talks about the time, you know, when he was a rookie, he contemplated suicide. He said he was thinking about a way to kill himself so that his wife would get the insurance money, because the first 2 years of any insurance policy, someone commits suicide, it doesn't pay off. That's how much despair he was feeling.
Wow. Well, I'll just give you this before we let you go. I just popped it up on Amazon, and it says temporarily out of stock. Order now,
and that's
we'll deliver.
Amazon messed up those boneheads. They put it in the wrong warehouse or something. So, yeah, we got to get that fixed. But
well, I thought
if you buy it, you'll get it.
You could have just played along, said that's how well it's selling. They can't keep up with demand.
No, I can't lie to the folks.
Okay.
Or you can always go to blessedbythebest.com. Which is Brian's website, and you can get a copy of it.
All right.
You may even be able to pay a little extra and get him to sign it.
All right. You can also follow Michael.
I'll pay you, and I'll sign it.
Yeah. He'll sign it, and there'll be a dollar bill in the book sleeve right there for you.
Exactly.
You can follow Michael on Twitter, at Daily Ombre. At Daily Ombre is where you find him on Twitter. Michael, we appreciate it. We'll do it again next week.
Buy the book, suckers.
There you go. Michael Bradley with us every single Tuesday. Coming up, the wild card race gets even tighter. We'll break down why you might want to root for the Yankees. I know it feels weird. We'll tell you about it next. It's Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Mariners taking on the Red Sox tonight, game two of their three-game series, and the T-Mobile Park roof will be, I'm going to say, closed. I was looking at my app. They were calling for rain like around 10. Maybe it'll be a little earlier. It looks pretty threatening out there right now. So I'm just going with closed, Dave.
When's the last time that that I forgot to turn my mic on? When's the last time that they closed it halfway through? Remember the one where they were late on it? It was way back when Felix was pitching.
Oh, and it started raining as it was closing?
Yeah, and his spikes got all muddied up.
I feel like they're pretty proactive. If they think there's going to be rain in the forecast, then they'll just go ahead and shut it.
Right.
I don't know if that'll be the case tonight. This is the first time I'm not that confident about it, Lefko. I know you get into this. I'm not feeling overly confident, but I'm calling for a closed roof.
I think Dave's into it, too. He wants to see you.
Dave's
get it
into
wrong.
It. You feel like Dave's really excited about the roof?
Yeah.
I don't think he is.
No.
I don't think he cares.
I really don't.
Yeah. That's the Mariners roof report covered by Acton's Quality Roofing.
Lefko gets excited about certain things that are very, as he likes to say, oddly specific. Like, he gets really excited about the roof report. He gets really excited about cheese.
Hold on. I thought you were the one that was very interested in seeing if Bob would be wrong on this.
Yeah, I'm so, very interested in Bob being wrong.
He doesn't care what I'm wrong about. He just wants me to be wrong.
Ipso facto, the roof report. You're excited about it.
Ipso facto.
Ipso facto.
Yeah, he gets excited about the roof, cheese, just food, donuts.
Yeah.
Food, you know, just in general.
Cracker Jacks.
Cracker Jacks, whatever the highlight bite's going to be when we're out there. We have one more trip out there, right?
Yeah, we have one more. What do you think is next? Because it's been peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and
yeah, let's be honest about the past couple.
What is it going to be?
Past couple of weeks, if we're being honest, I think they've bailed on it. I think they've bailed on us. They'll bring over whatever it is, whatever food item they're highlighting, and they'll give us a little read like, hey, you can find this in section blah blah blah, and today it's this much as compared to what it normally costs, and you know, kind of pumping up this item. And then the past 2 weeks, 1 week they brought us just a bag of peanuts, and there was I don't think there was a read with that at all. And then this past week, Cracker Jacks, and there was no read with it.
I'm guessing a toothpick for the final one.
A toothpick.
I really liked my Cracker Jacks. That's all I'm saying. I said, you know, I don't want to complain because, you know, they sent us a bag with the extra small shirts, and we kind of made a joke about it.
I was showing that to Kevin Martinez, by the way.
Yeah, it was super nice of him.
Yeah.
Super nice of him. And then, hey, Cracker Jacks is better than nothing.
It's all love, right? We get good stories out of it. Yeah. We're appreciative, but it's kind of funny.
We're just joking. But those sandwiches that we had the first time,
yeah,
they have really good food out there. Did you, when you went out to the, were you in the Diamond Club?
Yeah.
Mr. Big Shot. Ahoy, Polloi.
Yeah.
So, okay, Pookie.
Okay.
Did you go sample some of the food around the?
No, we were just there in the club.
They have the bacon-wrapped hot dog out there. It's fantastic.
Is it?
Yeah. And then that sandwich that they had for us.
Yeah, we had that. Those were good. Those are really good.
There's really good food at T-Mobile Park is my point. I'm hungry right now, so. Yeah, that's
Lefko's back there just chomping on food, just rubbing it in your face
constantly.
Yeah, he's just working it.
Him and his buck 55. Buck 60.
Why do you think the 2-year-old candy hearts have been demolished?
Did you eat that whole jar? Lefko
was part of it. I had some of them. Yeah, it was Taylor Jacobs. He said they're like a knockoff brand from Safeway or something. So I told him it's been sitting in there for 2 years. It was pre-pandemic. We know that. And their little hearts.
All right, let's see if this pops up on the screen.
Yeah.
The cup was full.
Was it full?
Yeah, it was about up to the Seahawk helmet.
There's no way I ate all that.
I ate about a third to two-thirds of it.
But what you guys were eating was 2 years old?
Yeah, we think so. Because when's the last time Taylor's been in here? He said that's at least since February 2020.
I'll tell you what, it's perfectly seasoned. Whatever it is. And that's the kind of thing that could survive some kind of.
And it's candy hearts? Is it the ones with the little messages on it?
Yeah, do they have messages, Mike? I didn't even pause to read it.
Yeah, you devoured it. No reading. You just straight to the gullet. Yeah. There you go. Okay, who should we be rooting for as this wild card chase continues? You're facing the Red Sox right now. You're two games back. Right now, the two teams that occupy the wild card spots, the Toronto Blue Jays and the New York Yankees, who are playing the dreadful Orioles right now. And last check, they were up 5-0. So they have the two spots.
Yeah.
Red Sox are tied with the Yankees, and you just beat them. If you sweep, which I don't know that that's a realistic expectation, it's a hope, but you'll be tied with them because you're two games in back of the Red Sox.
Yeah.
So you look at what these teams have in front of them. Toronto, who's out in front, they've got five more against the Rays, which could be tough, and three versus the Yankees. The Yankees, for their part, they've got three against the Red Sox, three against the Blue Jays, and three against the Rays. They've got a tough road. And then you've got Boston, who have the Yankees, and six still with the Orioles. So they could make up a lot of ground if they take care of the dreadful Orioles.
Yeah, maybe the Orioles. I mean, they're 5-5 their last 10. So who did they get hot against? It was like, I want to say Toronto. I mean, that could still happen. I just go back to, I'm going to call for a sweep in this series. I think they're going to sweep Boston. And if they do, man, this is, again, you look at how the Mariners are getting it done. So, you know, they just, J.P. Crawford is 268, Mitch Haniger 256, Ty France 287. That's pretty much it. Everybody else, well, Toro. Okay, Toro has been.
That's pretty much it.
Well, you look at the other side. I mean, every single hitter that Boston had last night in their lineup bats over 250, and we have four guys over 250.
Yeah, you know what's, and we talked about this, that is as much as you look at, you know, Dylan Moore is under 200, and Kelnick is under 200, and Cal Raleigh's under 200, and. You know, and Marmolejos, who just got DFA'd today, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He was DFA'd. They activated Fraley, so Marmolejos has been designated for assignment. But you've got these a group of hitters below 200, yet they all seem to have come up with really clutch hits.
Right.
Like Murphy, who's barely over 200. Is that they when they have produced, it feels like it's come at really crucial times. Right, so it's still, you look at it, you look at their on-base percentage, you look at their average, and go, ugh, that's not good. But, boy, they've had some really, really big moments in those very few spots of success, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I feel like the tougher the opponent, the better they play. And what an outing by Logan Gilbert. I mean, that was awesome to see last night. Nine strikeouts, which tied his career high, which is a very short career so far. But, yeah, he's had 9 and 8. But, I mean, at this time, the timing of this right now, and if he's – and that's got to give him a ton of confidence going against this lineup. So, well, yeah, hopefully Fraley puts a little charge into him and, you know, he home run out of the – it's amazing.
Yeah, he's got that loop.
It seems like every single home run he hits is down and inside.
That's the sweet spot for a lot of lefties.
Yeah.
That looping swing, it just lines up well with him. All right, coming up, will the Seahawks just roll through this Titans team, or is this going to be a much tougher task? We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
Got the Mariners pregame show coming up at the top of the hour. Game two of the Mariners series with the Boston Red Sox. They took game one, so we'll turn you over to the pregame show coming up at the top. Meanwhile, just back to the Seahawks for a moment. They've got the Tennessee Titans coming to town, the home opener. We'll see if it's – I think it's going to be jam-packed to the rafters. Dave, you're not quite as confident that it'll be mobbed. We'll see. I think it's going to be. I think people are ready.
Well, do you think the mandates, though, are going to be a problem?
No, because I don't know how enforceable they are.
Yeah.
Are you talking about the masks or what are you talking
about?
Well,
there's the masks. There's the proof of vaccination. There is, you know, you can either have that or you can have a
negative test. Yeah.
Am I right? Is that for Lumen Field?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's the one, because I know T-Mobile's was different.
T-Mobile's will be that, I think, if they go to the postseason.
If they go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
The mask is funny because the buildings are right next to each other.
Yeah, I hate to say anybody's doing anything for appearances. I just don't know how enforceable that is. 69,000, whatever the number is there, you're going to be able to sit there and go, hey, put your mask on. Hey, you, put your mask on. There are not enough employees or people there to do that. I think it's.
Well, what about the ticket takers? I mean, you're supposed to prove right there. I mean,
it's a great question. I don't know how they're going to do that efficiently and do it in a timely manner, getting people in the building.
Right.
You know, looking at either at the card and matching it. What are you going to match it with, a license? Are you going to go, okay, Dave Wyman, okay, come on in? Are they going to do that for 70,000 people?
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, and I wonder if that's, you know, or if some people are just going to say, well, I don't want to do that. And so
there might
I'm not going. So,
maybe
we'll
they
see.
Sell their tickets to somebody who's. Doesn't mind doing that. Who knows?
I'll tell you what, where it didn't bother anyone was Ohio State. I didn't see the crowd in Michigan.
Same.
I mean, it was 100,000 people there. 100,000.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wonder if that's going to be, if that's a thing, because it's state to state.
Yeah.
You know, and so if, you know, you're on the West Coast, you know, some of the stuff in the middle of the country, certainly Florida, Texas are totally different.
Yeah.
So is there going to be, you know, the Seahawks? I mean, look, they played without a crowd last year.
You know, whenever you bring up Florida, you no matter what you're talking about or any time period, you can always just say it's totally different.
Yeah.
It's Florida.
Yeah.
Florida is just, they're always the outlier for everything. Doesn't matter what we're talking about.
Mm. I'm not sure, well, in what ways you mean. But
it's just where crazy happens. You know, I mean, they've got specific accounts called Florida Man, because if you're going to read a goofy headline about, you know, man running down the street in his socks with, you know, a bag of hamburgers in each hand and nothing else, screaming at the top of his lungs. Yeah, it's Florida.
Mm.
It's just that's where the weirdness takes place.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And we'll see who's got it figured out. But I mean, it's just going to be interesting to see how the crowd. But again, they played with nobody and there were so many good plays last year that they were just total silence. I mean, it was kind of cool that you could hear the guys screaming down there.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I didn't, you know, I kind of wish they didn't pipe in the crowd sound on TV. I kind of wanted to hear, and maybe they were worried about you hearing what was being said, the cursing
there
and things
go.
Like that. So maybe there's a method to the madness. But in terms of what, you know, we're all praising what they did against the Colts and feeling like that was a complete game. And Clayton said he thought it was the most complete game played by any team in the league in week one. I'm not sure about that, but. Is there an area you look at and say, well, if I'm going to nitpick again, I'd like to see this improved for this game. I'd like to see this area addressed.
Yeah, there's one still. I would like to see more big hits and more physicality on defense. And I feel like that battering ram that is Derrick Henry that's coming in here, you're going to have to hit him and tackle hard. There's just a couple of times where we didn't attack blockers like I thought they should. So
they're catching blocks.
Yeah, a little bit. But, I mean, it was better. It was certainly better. It's just that, you know, you're going to have to be against this team. They're going to be physical. And they are going to be, I always say, you play against, and Moyer will say this too, that you'd rather play a team that is coming off a loss because it indicates that they're playing poorly right now. But, you know, on this one.
Week one, does that count?
Yeah, maybe not. And then the other thing is Vrabel, I think, is going to have his whole group fired up there, and that they're going to come and want to, you know, make a point. And it starts with being physical. And that's, you know, I'm just afraid the Seahawks, you know, they got to be ready, because if they come up and punch you in the mouth here in the first quarter, you know, how are you going to respond to that? So, and I know how Jamal Adams is going to respond.
Isn't that, he's always going to respond the same way. But don't you... I would assume as a team, you just anticipate, hey, we're going to get these guys at their best. We're going to get the best version of them. And any mistakes we see on film from their game against the Cardinals, we're expecting that those are going to be cleaned up in this game.
Yeah, true. And then, you know, the other thing is, like Al Woods was telling us yesterday, that, look, every week is different. Like, you don't sit there and bask in the glory of your win against the Colts past Monday.
Yeah, you get one day.
One day, and that's it. So, you know, go through the film. Same thing if it's a negative. So, yeah, it's just, you know, this is a whole new thing. And these guys realize that. So I don't buy in the whole, oh, they got, you know, caught with their pants down, they were sleeping, they got complacent. You know, every week is a huge challenge.
Yeah.
And this is a – so, yeah, the physicality is the part where I know that we can match that, but – that's what I think you need to see in order to get a win.
All right, that does it for us. We'll turn you over to the Mariners pregame show. Again, game two of their series with the Red Sox coming your way. Thanks to our guests Mark Schlereth, Mike Blowers, John Clayton, Rasheem Green, and El Hombre Michael Bradley. That's a lot. So if you missed any of that, head to the podcast page at 710sports.com. click that podcast tab and scroll down to our picture. Click on that. Everything you missed is waiting for you right there. We'll be with you tomorrow after the Mariner Day game right here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.